Chapter 30, Their Ascended Lord.
When the disciples returned to Jerusalem, the people stared at them with amazement. Most had assumed that after the trial and crucifixion of their master, they would be downcast and ashamed. Their enemies expected to see sorrow and defeat in their expressions. Instead, people saw only gladness and triumph. The disciples' faces glowed with a happiness not born of earth. They did not mourn over their disappointed hopes, but were full of praise and thanksgiving to God. With great rejoicing, they told the wonderful story of Christ's resurrection and his ascension to heaven. Many believed what the disciples told them and accepted Jesus as their Savior. The disciples no longer feared the future. They realized that the Savior was in heaven and that he still cared for them. Christ's followers knew that he was pleading before God the merits of his blood. He was showing to the Father his wounded hands and feet as evidence of the price that he had paid for his redeemed. And the disciples knew that he would come again with all the holy angels. Now they looked for this event with great joy and anticipation. When Jesus passed from the sight of his disciples on the Mount of Olives, a heavenly host met him with songs of joy and triumph. Then they escorted him upward. At the gates of the city of God, a company of angels too large to count awaited his coming. As Christ approached heaven, the angels accompanying him triumphantly sang to those at its gates, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Psalm 24:7. The angels at the gates responded, "Who is this King of glory?" Verse 8. They did not say this because they didn't know who he was, but because they desired to hear the wonderful answer, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Verses 8 and 9. Again, the waiting angels asked, "Who is this King of glory?" Verse 10. The escorting angels replied in melodious strains, "The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." Verse 10. Then the gates of the city of God opened wide, and the angelic throng swept through them amid a burst of rapturous music. All the heavenly host were waiting to honor their returned commander. They waited for him to take his place upon the throne of the Father. But he would not yet receive the crown of glory and the royal robe. He had a request to present before the Father concerning his chosen ones on earth. Christ would not accept any honor until his church was justified and accepted before the universe. Our Savior asked that where he is, there his people may be. If he is to have glory, they must share it with him. Those who suffer for him on the earth must reign with him in his kingdom. Christ pleaded for his church. He identified his interests with theirs. With a love stronger than death, he advocated the rights and titles purchased by his blood. The Father answered his appeal with the proclamation, "Let all the angels of God worship him." Hebrews 1:6. Joyfully, the leaders of the heavenly host adored the Redeemer. The countless angels bowed before him, and heaven echoed and re-echoed with the glad shout, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Revelation 5:12. Christ's followers are accepted in the Beloved. In the presence of the heavenly host, the Father ratified the covenant made with Christ that he will receive repentant and obedient human beings and will love them even as he loves his Son. Where the Redeemer is, there the redeemed shall be. The Son of God had triumphed over the Prince of Darkness. He had conquered death and sin. Heaven rang with voices in lofty strains proclaiming, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever." Verse 13.